This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy New Year! The NFL league year has begun. Debo Samuel's officially a Commander. Anthony, I'm pretty sure that the Commander's PR staff schedule sent the email on Debo. They had that sucker ready to go. 4 p.m. on the dot. Oh, look what's in the inbox. Commanders acquired Debo Samuel. If you're like, what are you talking about? They did that 2 weeks ago. Remember, the NFL league year started now, 4 o'clock on Wednesday. It's official, so check your Instagram feeds, your Twitter feeds, your Blue Sky feeds, your TikToks. All the official accounts can now start posting all the things. Obviously, the players who have re-signed, like Zach Ertz, that's already been done and made official, but any new acquisition can happen now. For every team across the NFL, trades can become official, so I expect another email shortly on Laremy Tunsil. Once that trade is officially approved by the NFL's league office. But I think the Debo one was the first one through, Anthony. It seems like that one's all good to go.
It was actually scheduled for 3:59 and 59 seconds, Craig.
I would be careful about that.
Nah, you're right.
Can't be caught with a tampering charge. I honestly, if I was scheduled sending that email, I'd do it at 4:01 to be safe.
That's fair.
Do you ever use schedule send on email?
Yeah.
Do you do it at like right on the dot, or do you do it at random times to make it look like you're not a psycho who schedule sends emails?
I try to do it at like a very respectable time. So if I need you to get an email at like 7:30 or 8 or in the morning, I'll probably choose like 8:30.
Yeah, no, definitely I do that. If like I'm answering emails, because I hate getting work emails, especially like 9 o'clock at night. Like if it's urgent, fine. But if not, just schedule send it for tomorrow during business hours. Uh-huh. I'm not going to begrudge you for working that time, but I don't want to work that time. So don't. And considering we all have our email on our phones now, like let's not do that. But I also, if I'm doing that, I won't be like, oh, I'm going to have it hit at 9 a.m. sharp tomorrow. Like first, you know, unless I'm like, I want you to see this as soon as you sit down at your desk, I am proving a point. Like people actually sit down and start working at 9 a.m. on the dot, or, you know, 8 or whatever they do. But I'll be like, oh, 9:37 a.m.
Yeah.
I just don't do it random times.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, hey, look, I'm working. I also feel bad though when I get a reply, like when I schedule send an email, then I get a reply and then now I look like I'm a jerk because I emailed you and then you replied and then I can't reply or don't reply immediately.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes I play myself. Anyway, that's enough email talk. Let's get to free agency. Commanders, again, they've made it official with Debo. We'll get the Laremy Tunsil one in a few moments, I presume. But there's also actual newer news, Anthony. That is the Commanders have signed Eddie Goldman. Former Florida State Seminole, played for the Bears for a long time. He's a big old honking nose tackle, dude. He's a large man, and he's also a family friend of yours.
Yes, he is a family friend, and it was actually funny because when the news broke, I called his dad to basically like confirm the reports, and he was like, "Dang, how'd you know?" Like, I just got off the phone with him, just like. I mean, I think
those agents and those insiders work fast, man. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, broke the news. The Hoffman Show, courtesy of Anthony Haney, has confirmed the news. Eddie Goldman's coming to D.C. So he's had a really interesting career. Young player with the Chicago Bears, who played nose tackle on some pretty darn good defenses back in the day, including, I believe, at the tail end of like Brian Urlacher's career. He was even there. Back in 2015, graded out in the green his first 2 years on PFF. Hilariously, his second year, 78.3 coverage grade. Anthony, I don't think he was doing a whole lot of snaps in coverage.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So he played like full complement of snaps his rookie year. 517 snaps that season. Had 26 pressures, 6 sacks. It was his most productive season as a pass rusher. Got hurt the next year, but was back up in 2017, 18, 19. Pretty full seasons. Played really well. 2018, he was sensational. Graded out in the like high 80s, which is like probably one of the best grades PFF gave out that year. And specifically was a 90 on PFF against the run. Again, out of 100. So truly sensational season in 2018. 2019, he's good again. He sat out 2020, the COVID year. Came back in 21, did not play very well, and then he actually retired and then unretired. Last year was in Atlanta, played a solid 330 snaps as a rotational piece for them. Didn't have a great season by PFF's metrics. And again, like PFF's not perfect, but it's the best we got. And now he'll come here to be a part of the rotation. Again, if he can give them that 300 to 400 snaps, like that's all they need. But he's 6'4", 332. And so what they've added between him and Kinlaw is enormous size on the inside. And I think the potential to have some of these bigger body types. Now, as we talked about with Kinlaw, he's not actually a great run player. Kinlaw has struggled at times against the run. He can get a little upright and get moved. He is really quick with his hands, so he can penetrate at times. But they definitely have some guys that can take up more space. And I think the other thing to think about here is, in a way, they're setting up to do some more stuff with odd spacing this year. And so odd spacing just simply means you have 3 down or 5 across the line of scrimmage. So, you know, if you think of your traditional 3-4 set, or, you know, sometimes they'll have the 4 down linemen and then Frankie Louvu's kind of hanging off the edge. And we can get real into the weeds on spacing, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to bore you guys with those details. Some of you really care about that. And if you care, then you probably already know. And if you don't already know, you probably don't care. And the point is, like, it just gives them options. That I think this year you're going to see some packages with Newton, Payne, Kinlaw, Goldman, some combination of those four guys with a Frankie Louvu and some other edge player that hasn't even been brought in yet on the outside. And so they have those kinds of options to play more with those odd spacings, or I should say those odd fronts, and they can play an odd front with an even spacing, which is something they did a lot last year. And again, I'm not going to go and bother explaining all that because it doesn't really matter. The point is, this is a very versatile defense. Goldman is the kind of piece that allows them to play true odd spacing, like true traditional 3-4 with a nose tackle, if they want to do that. And I think Kinlaw could play, you know, defensive end in a true 3-4 kind of alignment, that 4-eye for the nerds, and be pretty effective there. I think that suits his body type, his skill set. So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch how they deploy these guys. But they have definitely added size on the front, because, you know, Newton's a little undersized. Obviously, Allen was. They let him go. Payne, I know he doesn't feel super undersized, but like he's kind of undersized for like a one technique shade defensive tackle type. Like for a one tech, he's fine. For a true shade or nose tackle, he's not as big as you'd want. And he's not a power player. He's a speed player. So to get these bigger body types in there, I think gives them some different options up front. Hopefully it helps their run defense tremendously. And then the biggest thing is, now can you get the pass rush juice? Newton and Payne inside should give you some, but can you get, whether it's DeMarcus Lawrence, whether they go a little younger with a guy like Azeez Ojulari, obviously still in the draft, I think there's some stuff to look at. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. And speaking of the draft, Anthony, I actually think that Rams now officially released Cooper Kupp. That just in from Adam Schefter. That was kind of the slowest breaking news of the day. We knew that was coming. But up next, you had a really good idea to take a look at kind of, you know, the remixing the draft. What happens when the Commanders are at 29 on the board now versus 2 weeks ago before they did all this stuff? We're going to dive into those possibilities next on The Hoffman Show. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. So, Anthony, I think that if I just had all day to sit on mock draft simulators, I could waste a whole day. That's what I've learned in this commercial break. Because I have three different mocks pulled up, or three different draft simulators pulled up to help us with this discussion. And every time I do this for the Commanders, I actually feel better about where they are for reasons that we'll explain in a moment. But to get back, before I get too far ahead of myself, you had a good question in our pre-show meeting. And you basically were like, how does the draft look now for Washington compared to before free agency? Because before free agency, they, or depending on when you want to start that timeline, they didn't have Debo. They certainly didn't have Laremy Tunsil. And then you have the guys that they've re-signed in Bobby and Zach, and they've lost Diami, and they've now lost Chin and Defoe, but they signed Will Harris. They haven't done anything yet at corner, wide receiver. And we acknowledge that they're going to. Like, they have to sign receivers. They don't have bodies in the building right now. So they're going to sign someone. But the guys that we thought could be bona fide twos potentially for them, guys like Darius Slayton, are not here. So unless they go sign Amari Cooper, like, they're probably looking for a starting caliber receiver potentially in this draft. Or they're hoping Luke can step up or whatever. So I think on the whole, the Tunsil move is the only one that really changes anything for me. Because now you have a guy that you're relying upon as a bona fide starter at left tackle. That said, if Josh Simmons, the tackle from Ohio State, who Logan thinks had maybe the best tape of any tackle in this draft, but might be available at 29 because he got hurt early last year in a pretty devastating knee injury. But if they feel comfortable with his medical and he falls to 29, and he is distinctly, in the way that Johnny Newton was for them, the best player at 34 last year, I think it was. If he's your best player, he's the only guy left on the board with a first round grade by the time you get to 29, I'm not taking him. And in fact, for a guy like Simmons, this becomes an even better situation where I hope that he's my next, who's my Tristan Wirfs, where I take him, he starts for me at right tackle as soon as he's ready. And that means he is both healthy and better than Andrew Wiley. And Andrew Wiley is an average right tackle in the NFL. So when you're better than Andrew Wiley, you're pretty good. You're a good tackle. Wiley's fine. He's no better. He's no worse. He's got strengths and weaknesses that are different than maybe what Simmons will be. But if he can play right tackle until Tunsil's done here, whenever that means, contract expires, they don't come to terms, he's just not good anymore, whatever the reason, and then Simmons goes over to left tackle in the future, cool. I'd still probably do that. But I do think if you get into a situation where you have someone who, you have two players of equal grades at edge, corner, receiver, O-line. O-line might have been second or third on my list after edge previously. I think now it's probably fourth. I think I would now take, I mean, if I got two players of truly equal grades, I would probably take an edge, definitely an edge, a wide receiver, and a corner over an offensive lineman, unless that lineman is distinctly the better player.
No, I would agree. I think before the free agency moves, I think offensive line was definitely top priority for me, just because I thought we're probably going to get a defensive end in, you know, free agency, but that hasn't happened. So since that hasn't happened, we've acquired Laremy Tunsil. The offensive line priority definitely shift. I would then lean defensive end being the top priority and then corner. And to be honest, like, corner really might end up, you know, switching over a defensive end depending on, you know, how the rest of the free agency goes. But I think
they have to sign, they have to figure out something at corner. Literally don't have a dude.
We have nothing.
Like, I think we were talking about having this conversation off air yesterday. It's not like they can fall back on BSJ and make all the fans mad. BSJ is also a free agent. Like, they can't even do that. So I literally don't know. I mean, ESPN.com does a pretty good job of keeping their depth chart up to date.
Yeah.
Let me see who they have, because I say that about BSJ, then they had him there the other day, but I did confirm he is a free agent. Depth chart.
I think it's also easier to find serviceable receivers than there are, like, corners kind of.
Dog, they have, according to ESPN.com, they have two dudes that I've heard of that have played corner in the NFL on the roster right now. They have Mikey and Marshawn. That's it. Because then they have their current starting left cornerback on ESPN.com is someone named Alan George. And then Bobby Price, who they signed midway through last year. So I've heard of him. He's there as well. They need an outside, unless they're going to switch Kwan's position. But I don't think they're doing that. Because not like they got a bunch of safeties floating around.
Nope.
He's their starting free safety. So they got to sign corners. So I pulled up three different mocks. Because I don't think we're at the stage of the process yet where any of these are actually that good. Any of these mock draft simulators. Because every time I look at it, I'm like, there's no way that guy's available. No way that guy's available. So on PFF, when Commanders are on the board in this particular version of this particular mock, they have their best player available as Omarion Hampton, the running back out of North Carolina, who, by the way, would be intriguing.
Yeah.
But they also have hilarious, like, this is the guy where I'm like, this ain't happening. Colson Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan, that dude's probably going top 20. There ain't no way he's available for Washington 29. If he is, I'd probably take him because I think he's a first round grade kind of guy. But also in this one, Jalen Walker, the edge out of Georgia, is available. Would definitely think about that one. Nick Skirton, the edge out of Texas A&M. Maybe. Josh Connerly, the tackle out of Oregon. Like, Connerly's the kind of guy that they would have been in the market for that with Tunsil, they're not. He's the kind of offensive tackle that probably bops down for me. Ayo Manor, the receiver out of Stanford, is here. Besh, the receiver out of TCU. Trey Amos, the corner out of Ole Miss. But honestly, one of my favorite guys that's available is Landon Jackson, the edge out of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Like, super interested in him. By the way, in this one also, Shedeur Sanders somehow gets in the second round, as does Tyler Booker, the guard out of Alabama. Like, I don't think that's happening. But, like, Jaden Higgins is available, the receiver out of Iowa State, who will probably be available, and that might be a little rich. But, like, this, if the board is like this, I'm trying to trade down, which brings us to Pro Football Network's version. The players available for Washington here. Somehow Loveland available here as well. These mock draft simulators apparently don't like him very much. Luther Burden, the receiver out of Mizzou. Don't know he's their kind of guy, but talent-wise, interesting. Hampton out of North Carolina again. Mike Green, the edge out of Marshall's available. That's a run to the podium type of situation as long as the character's good. So definitely some interesting guys there. Trey Amos again, the corner out of Iowa State. But they also have some trade offers. If Washington gives up 29 and 128 for 37 and 68 for Vegas, this is the one I would probably take. Washington has pick 29 and 128 going to Tennessee for pick 35 in their second next year. You can recoup a second round pick after you gave one up for Tunsil next year and you only move back six slots.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I would do that in a heartbeat. And then just pick 29 for Arizona's 47-82 and their second next year. Like, that's interesting to me. Then you have the mock draft simulator database, whatever the hell that .com. Their trade offers are crazy. 29 to Miami for 48-98, 231, 256, second rounder next year, and a fifth rounder next year.
29 going back to where?
To Miami. Just one pick for, like, all that. Yeah, that doesn't seem realistic.
Nah, not at all.
Minnesota also giving up four picks, including a second rounder next year. And then, yeah, those are the two trade offers. Sure, if you can do that in a heartbeat. There, now everyone's not mad at Adam Peters for giving up all them picks anymore.
Yeah.
As for players available, they've got Emmanuel Worry, the safety out of South Carolina, available. Kenneth Grant, the D lineman out of Michigan, that would be hard to pass up. Burden, Derek Harmon, D lineman out of Oregon. Hampton again. They also have Skorton, the edge out of Texas A&M. Ravel, Maxwell Hairston, corner out of Kentucky, who ran the 4-2.
That's the first corner I've heard in all of these mocks.
Azare Thomas, Landon Jackson. So there's a ton of dudes. Trey Amos again. Just a ton of dudes available. And I think the point is, like, at 29, there's going to be a good football player available at one of the positions that they want. The question is, which one, and is it more appealing to trade back? And I still think that's probably with where they're at right now. That's the other thing too, right? I think the idea of trading back was already a good one for them in this upcoming draft because of kind of the clump of players that was going to be available and what offers could be on the board. Now that becomes even more appetizing. That might be the biggest single difference, is that trade back scenario to recoup draft picks this year and next. Like, that's, I don't want to say it's a must by any stretch. The must is get the best value you can. But your value charts are a little different now as you try to replenish the draft stock.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, man. This, oh my gosh.
It's going to be a fun, what are we at? March 12th? Fun, like 6 weeks here.
Yeah.
Going to be a good old time.
It's going to be stressful a little bit too, though.
Anthony, you had many bright ideas. I can't keep them all straight. What are we doing next?
After that, we were supposed to...
We put it in the rundown. Let me look at the rundown. Oh, you had another good question. Actually, we were supposed to do the draft thing next, but I just did that. One, we can take some calls at 301-230-0980. Two, you asked a really smart question about some of these trades and what you think it means in terms of how Adam Peters viewed this free agent class. We'll talk about that next here on the Team 980. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the Free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. We'll get some calls coming up in about 10 minutes at 301-230-0980. But if you want to get in line, now's a good time. Anthony, standing by, ready to answer the phone amongst his many duties here at the Hoffman Show. But Anthony, you also asked an interesting question about Adam Peters and kind of how he's treated this offseason. I will let you ask the question, and I will do my best to answer it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of fans are expecting Adam Peters to, you know, make some moves, make some flash moves. And a lot of the moves we've made have been via trade as opposed to actually, you know, signing free agents during the legal tampering period. So my question to you is more so, since the Commanders and Adam Peters have been, you know, less active in the free agency frenzy, is it sort of an indictment on the free agent class as a whole, just because he may not be impressed with the talent pool?
Yeah. I guess I understand the desire to be like, let's go, we have all this money, let's go sign free agents. Who that has been signed elsewhere do you wish they would have signed? I'm not saying it's a list of zero, right? I would have taken Josh Sweat, especially the money that he signed, but he wanted to go play apparently with Jonathan Gannon out in Arizona. They paid him market price, almost $20 million a year. Okay. Like, they couldn't force him to go here. I get it. Other than that, like, would I have been interested in one of the corners, like the Carlton Davises, the DJ Reeds, whichever one they thought fit best in their system? Yeah. I also know that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. have a long history of taking unheralded corners and turning them into stars. You know, Diggs, Bland, on down the list of guys that those two have worked with, not only together in Dallas, but Witt's got a long, long career with coaching DBs that have been really, really good. And frankly, so does Dan, even as a DC, even though he's more of a D-line guy coming up. Like, you know, what he did with Richard Sherman and in that system out in Seattle, how they coach it up, like... I definitely am interested, but they also spent big money or big resources, I should say, on Lattimore in the trade, right? So you kind of got to, if that's your one, like, are you going to pay two guys over $15 million a year to play corner for you? Probably not. So there are guys out there, but this free agency class in general wasn't very good. There just weren't a ton of guys. There's no quarterbacks really, like Justin Fields and Sam Darnold are the bells of the ball. And I think the biggest player acquisition that's happened is them. They traded for Tunsil. And they did it, by the way, without giving up a first rounder. So to answer your question straightly, yes. Do I think that this is an indictment of the free agent class by Adam Peters? But like, what did you want them to do? Just go spend money recklessly so they can say they spent money? They spent more than people thought they should on Javon Hargraves, and people lost their mind. Like, Kinlaw. And $15 million a year for Javon Kinlaw is, yes, if they were the only team bidding for his services, you lost the negotiation. That stinks. But they still have like $60 million in cap space, and rotational defensive tackles cost a lot of money. Look at what Milton Williams just got, and he's going to be obviously a starter, but there was another guy that just signed for $20 million too. D tackle or signed for like 18. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking about. Somebody that signed for 18.
Somebody just signed for 18. That's like a better player than Javon Kinlaw for sure, but like it's probably going to play similar snap count throughout the season. So like that is an expensive position. They got a guy that has real talent that they have an idea of what they want to do with. And so you can't create options that don't exist. You can't go in and create a player, stick him in the free agent pool, and go try to sign him. And the best thing you can do if you don't like the free agent pool is say, well, who can we acquire via trade? And that's what they did. They didn't like the wide receiver class. They went and signed. They went and traded for Debo. They don't like the tackle class once Ronnie Stanley resigns. Because that's the other thing, too, is that initially they liked probably some guys. They were apparently very in on Ronnie Stanley and were going to go after him hard. And then he resigns with Baltimore the day before free agency opens. Can't do anything about that. Alaric Jackson resigns with the Rams. You can't do anything about that. So what do? I guess they say we can do something about that. We can't get guys that don't get to free agency. We can't go sign guys off other teams, but we can trade for them. And so they did. They've still got more to do for sure, but that would be my rhetorical question is, who did they not sign that you're like failure? They had to sign that guy. That guy totally changes their team. And I don't think that guy exists.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys like Hassan. I mean, I think a lot of people did definitely want AP to address edge, and maybe some of the guys in the pool were sort of kind of outpriced. You got the Hassan Reddick. He got $14 million down in Tampa. But who's to say he wanted to come here? Josh Sweat, he also got close to $20 million. Who's to say he wanted to come here? So, I mean, it's just the things didn't fall in our favor, and I think a lot of fans are just upset that we weren't able to, you know, land one of those.
Yeah, but like Hassan Reddick. Oh, you wonder who else got paid at D tackle? John freaking Allen got $20 million. I don't want to pay John Allen $20
million. Yeah.
But he got $20 million. Why? Because he's a good enough player that's in an expensive position. I want them to address edge too. They need to. But, you know, it might be a second wave free agency guy. It might be a role, like at this point, there's just not a top flight guy available. And whether it's an Azeez Ojulari, whether it's a DeMarcus Lawrence, whether a team that's drafting in the top 15 takes an edge, cuts one of their vets, and then Washington's like, come play for us. We think you got more left in the tank. We're going to put you in a different role. Like that kind of stuff happens too. So, you know, it's not a blind in Adam we trust. It's a, I get why they're acting the way they are, and they can't invent options that don't exist. They're at the mercy of the market, and it's also a work in progress. So, but so far, the fact that they're not blindly throwing money away at guys and just saying screw it, we're gonna get guys no matter what, is also probably the right option. Like, New England had that kind of money. Washington didn't quite have that kind of money. It's Hoffman Schultz. We're on the Team 980. And tell you what, let's take a look at what's trending because there's a couple more signings that just came through. Then we'll get to some of your calls next. It's Hoffman Schultz. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980 where the chat is just... I don't know what y'all are doing in there. I think Anthony... I think there's some day drinking in the chat. It's all right. I tried to answer as many questions as I could, but now we're back to the show.
Now I'm watching you answer.
We're live. I'm here talking to you. All right. Let's get to the phones. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Mark's in Largo. What up?
Hey, what's up, Craig? How you been, buddy?
You sound sleepy, Mark. You all right over there?
Nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm good.
Normally, you come in firing.
Let me ask you. Yeah. So let me ask you this. I actually agree with you. I think Adam is doing. This is not a good free agent class, and I think, and you know how you can tell this is not a good free agent class. Greg, there are a lot of contracts that are being signed no more than 3 years. You're not seeing a lot of guaranteed longer contracts longer than 3 years. Most of them, except for quarterbacks, but most of them are at max 3 years.
Well, even really Darnold was 3 years, wasn't he? 3 years for 100.
Yeah.
So
I think
like
Darnold was 3 years.
The only four-year deal I can remember seeing was Sweat. Sweat got four for something like 80.
Right. Right, right. And I mean, Law, the one we signed on Monday, he's only getting a 3-year deal. So, I mean, if you think, or is it a 2-year deal with him, the guy that we signed on Monday?
Kinlaw is a 3-year, but it's 2 guaranteed, which is what all these 3-year deals are.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not a really great free agency class. Now, we both were disappointed because we thought Slayton would still be available come today. I didn't think the Giants were going to resign. I really didn't.
Well, they've been trying to get rid of him for like 4 years. So that is the most nonsensical thing that of all of the crazy things that have happened in this free agency period. The Giants not just re-signing Darius Slayton, but re-signing him to basically the exact same deal they would not give Saquon Barkley last year is just excellent. That one's over the top.
Well, think about this. These are the same two people that the owner came out a week after the season and said, you know, I thought about letting my coach and GM go, but I think I'm going to keep them another year.
Yep.
This is what you're going to get. Everyone talks about the Cowboys are a mess. The Giants have been a mess for a long time, but that's another story. I do think in the draft, though, I think, Craig, they got to get an edge rusher. Now, I think they still may bring Dante Fowler back. I think they may bring him back. And you got to get an edge rusher in the draft. And maybe you could trade, give up your first-round pick and get a second-round pick like you were talking about. You got to get an edge rusher. Because I think there's a chance we can get Asante Samuel if he's available come tomorrow or Friday. You could probably get him for a 1-year deal. And you could sign him and everything will be good. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I haven't watched Samuel enough. He's intriguing. I know he's 25 years old. He is kind of a playmaker in a way that's good, but he is not very physical, not a run support player very well. And then some of the man-to-man stuff is specifically like press coverage, which is, I think, what they want to get to a lot more of, which is why they brought in Marshawn Lattimore. I just don't know that he's a fit. Like, the idea of Asante Samuel Jr. is interesting. The reality of Asante Samuel Jr. might not be a good fit. But they've also had and like they're so good at finding their types of guy at corner or have been in Quinn's history that position I give them a little bit more leeway. I think you're right. The Fowler's still got to be in play here. There's a couple of other guys, but they need to find a one type of guy. And I just don't know the path to doing that right now outside of drafting one. And they have to hope the board falls their way. But as I've said a ton, Mark, and appreciate the call as always, like, you have to treat free agency like the draft doesn't exist. Your plan when you're drafting 29th can't be board's going to fall our way. Because what happens when the 7 best players on your board are all not edge players? So you can either take not best player available and you know, okay, fine, that's great if you have a trade offer that moves you down 7 spots. But you can't bank on that happening. You can hope, but hope is not a plan. Let's go to Terrell in Baltimore. Terrell, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, man, always. Listen, I don't know if the free agency market is that bad or if teams have just kind of gotten smart and don't want to overinvest in aging guys and, you know, and maybe complicating their flexibility. That could be one way. So maybe those contracts aren't being as long and committing the money. But I think, like, this fan base has kind of gotten used to the splashiness of free agency, and they want to see the big names and the contracts go. And I don't know if that's the best. Sometimes you got to let the dust settle because, like you were saying earlier, there's going to be a second wave to free agency. There's going to be a third. There's situations where teams have to release people by like June 1st or whatever have you, and then maybe there's some valuable guys then. And I don't want to cream Adam for not being that first person to jump to the market and spend all of the money. There is value in jumping in a market and investing early in this. Sometimes there's value in letting the dust settle, letting all the craziness get out of the way, and then picking up the people who have gotten humbled. Maybe like a Dante Fowler who thinks he's worth too much, and then you see, wow, maybe not. So then you let those waves days go, and then you make an investment that is sound for your team. If he went and spent all of the money, and then say like a year from now, and we're all mad that he spent all this money and we're getting nothing from those guys, because I guarantee you, based on what has happened around the league, look at what San Francisco is doing. Look at what happened in Philly, what the Jaguars are doing, all the money that New England has spent. There's a lot happening in the league that's going to drastically change up Chicago, Denver, that's going to drastically change up what the AFC and the NFC is going to look like. And, you know, maybe sometimes it's just better to wait and let all that craziness go and not overspend, because we would cream him if he overspent. And then we're like, man, we spent all that money, and he's a bum now. He's not doing right.
100%.
Now he went from a cold season area to a warm season area. He's on grass now versus turf, and he's not the guy that we thought he should be, and we overspent. I mean, sometimes you gotta, you know, you gotta pick your battles and not go overboard early. So I think Adam Peters is doing smart and just, you know what, let me let some of this craziness die down. And then I'm going to get some guys that are, like, humbled and mad now and got a chip on their shoulder because I didn't get that big contract. Now I'm going to pick you up, come here for a year or two, prove yourself, and we'll talk about an extension down the road.
100%. And, Terrell, it goes to my theory that I have this is the smartest theory in all of sports talk radio. Don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. There's no such thing as good strategy. There's just good execution. Like, when it comes to team building, like, be right. That's you can trade away a bunch of picks, but if you get the right players in return, like, oh my God, you can't trade a pick. Philly traded a first rounder for AJ Brown, worked out just fine for Philly. Now other teams have made trades that are same strategy, didn't get the player part right. If you trade away multiple picks, but you get the ones that you keep right, good. If you have a million picks and you miss on all of them, that ain't gonna help you. And so, like, that's not actually that groundbreaking in terms of analysis there. Like, hey, be good at your job as opposed to bad at it. But, like, unfortunately, there is no, like, 100% strategy way to get this done. You have to be adaptable with the market. So I like that call a lot. I appreciate it because it's 100% correct in terms of if Adam Peters was really aggressive or saved all his draft picks, didn't make the Tunsil move, didn't make the D move, why is this guy holding back? Oh, he's just going to build through the draft. Okay, well, now the players aren't good fast enough because they're draft picks and they're rookies. And like, there's no great way to do this other than whichever strategy you choose, do a good job at it. And now, is Adam walking a higher tightrope because he's got less draft picks? Sure, we can acknowledge that. But he's also walking a lower tightrope because his left tackle is Laremy Tunsil and his left guard's probably Brandon Coleman versus Brandon Coleman at left tackle and Nick Allegretti at left guard. So that's nice. This is interesting. DeMarcus Lawrence had always been seen as kind of a fallback option for the Commanders at edge. No longer an option. Signing with the Seattle Seahawks. So one more edge player off the board. We'll see if the Commanders or what the Commanders do at that spot. You know they're going to sign at least one. You know they're going to sign at least one wide receiver. And we'll see kind of when that all goes down. League year has started, so when these players agree to terms, signings can happen immediately. And we'll keep you updated here on the Team 980. Coming up next, really interesting discussion that we're going to have over the next half hour with Linnell Willingham, host of Overtime over on 106.7 The Fan, here in fill-in over here on the Team 980, of course, as well. Linnell brought to my attention a podcast clip from the Monday Morning Quarterback podcast where one of the hosts, Connor Orr, along with Albert Breer, talked about whether the Commanders are making a big mistake in microwaving this offseason. We'll see what they mean, their argument, and then Linnell and I will debate whether we agree with them next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Linnell Willingham is here. What up?
What's going on, man? Getting active. Yeah. Commanders are, at least.
Yeah. They
not so much.
Eddie Goldman, re-signed Marcus Mariota. I don't know that we said that on the show today.
It's been a day. I have been I'm glad no one's tweeted at me for my last appearance on the show talking about Marcus Mariota. Times have changed since then.
You're allowed to...
But the data changed, my take changed. That's
correct.
Fair.
That is how the world should work.
That's how the world works.
There's unfortunately, it's not always how the world works.
Well, yes, we know that. But for me, in this situation, yes. I think that was underrated signing that like had to happen to me. Although I would have been okay with Jeff Driskel. They win at the end of the day to me.
Yeah, I mean, backup quarterback wise, Driscoll versus Mariota ain't that big of a difference. Yeah. But like
the, after seeing him, it's
yeah. But the, keeping. I mean, I put out this this post earlier. I was like, so far the Commanders offseason biggest things that they've done are get Jaden Daniels a new easy button, get him a new starting left tackle, and then re-sign his big brother, essentially, in Bobby Wagner, his like safety blanket in Zach Ertz, and his mentor in the position room in Marcus Mariota. Those are five moves, yeah. All relative to Jaden Daniels, that help Jaden Daniels, the most important person in the franchise, be better.
And I think when you look at it through that lens, like,
good job, Adam.
Yeah. Like, how can you be upset at anything that they've done at this point? I think that's one piece of this offseason. And, like, we kind of predicted, I did at least, like, they wouldn't be super active in the first wave. It just, they weren't like that last year. Right. And I think this time around they're using the same approach, but, like, they're doing things to help the quarterback. And I love that that's what the lens that you're looking at it through. I feel like him taking another step forward, too, is another win in this offseason. Them being able to layer this offense based off of stuff they put in last year is another win for this offense. So I'm excited about everything for the most part. I know people have kind of been down on the Kinlaw signing.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. But when I see, I'll be honest, by the way, let me get my catchphrase out there. We're at the mercy of the evaluator, people. Whatever AP says goes. But when I see the money that DeMarcus Lawrence got in Seattle, I don't know if you all touched on that.
I didn't say the money out loud yet. The money's funny on that one.
Yeah, because
it's,
I think it's three for 42,
but it's 18 guaranteed, which probably means it's two-year deal, not even. Like, I wonder if it's a 1-year $18 million, and then, like, on the third day of the league year two becomes guaranteed deals. But, like, you can cut him before. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see when the details come out.
But point is, like, similar contract to what you gave Kinlaw, but the structure is different. So it's not, I guess. I hear what you're saying.
But they're different positions. They're different ages. Well, that's, I mean,
yeah. So, but at the same, both at positions of need, I would rather that money have been given to DeMarcus Lawrence.
I don't know about that.
If I'm going to nitpick at anything.
33-year-old guy.
It's a lot of money. How much? He's only $15 million guaranteed, right? Kinlaw.
No, Kinlaw is 30. But it's over 2 years.
Yes.
So, like, I that's a lot of money for a 33-year-old dude who hadn't been that. Like, he hasn't been Tank Lawrence in, like, 3 years.
I'm just Commanders fans can understand where I'm coming from because I think you all are influencing my thought process with this. We're thirsty for the edge rusher right now. And for let sure. me not say edge rusher because DeMarcus Lawrence would have came in and I would have said, you know what? That's kind of exactly who you need. Long arm guy that can be stout at the point of attack, playing the run. Like, he's earned the name Tank, for God's sake. So, like, that's what he does. And then he can give you pass rush juice as well. But I do think, and I was listening to our pal John Keim earlier today with Bram, and they, when John's my barometer for certain things, just because he's, I don't know who they're telling things to, but I know if they are telling things
John's
to somebody,
got a lot of information, and he's got a good demeanor.
So for him to say that, he kind of hinted at Javon Kinlaw playing some defensive end. I go,
yeah,
maybe it is a real thing. I know
they called it the elephant end in Seattle, and they like big 6'5", 320. Red Bryant was the guy they had doing it back in the day, and
Fred
like
was huge.
Yeah, he was 6'5", 320, which is exactly what Kinlaw is. I think they carried it a little bit different, but
well, yeah, Red was more up top. It felt like bigger, chubby. He's a thick build guy up top.
Yeah. So, long story short, like they're gonna have to do something on the edge. We know that. They got to figure out who that is, when that happens.
No way you can give up more draft capital, right?
I don't think so. But, like, I also was thinking about this when we were talking about it with a caller in the last segment. Like, what happens if on draft night they trade back and now all of a sudden they have an extra second or something to play with? Like, and Trey Hendrickson still hasn't been traded.
Word to Glorilla, let him cook.
Yeah, so, like,
everything's possible.
Nothing happens in a vacuum.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, if all of a sudden they go from if they essentially one for one swap their first round pick into Trey Hendrickson and maybe another pick, where they can like get, I mean,
it's
I doubt,
a fourth or a fifth or something like that.
Yeah, like I don't
that's
think
kinda
that's
rich
the
maybe, but
worst yeah. use of. I mean, but again, it just depends on how much. Like, I don't want to still want to pay Trey Hendrickson $32 million a year. I know he's really good, but he's getting on he's on the wrong side of 30, all that kind of stuff too. So
I guess
I don't know.
What it comes down to is they're kind of showing us, but they haven't flat out said it, so it's risky to say that they're feeling this way. I think they're just going for it right now, and I think that move would signify that yeah, they really are going for it.
They're obviously going for it. I mean, the Tunsil move is a go for it type of move, but they also, I think they understand, like, the foundation of your team is still built through the draft. Nothing they've done has undermined their ability to do that. Yes, they have given up some draft capital, mm-hmm. but they still have a fair amount of it. And I mean, this is how we kind of ended the last hour. This is not earth-shattering analysis, mm-hmm. but like the only way to be good at this is to be good at this. There is no strategy that 100% guarantees success of more draft picks, more trades, more this. The Rams won with F them picks. You had other teams that have won with teams built purely through the draft. You have other teams that win with some combination of the two. Like you said, whatever you choose, and if you have 4 picks or 10 picks, you got to be good at picking players. And so I think what the Commanders have done is they looked at this free agent market and by the way, I think some of this draft and realized we can't get what we need in certain spots.
Exactly.
And so like let's use the draft picks. We have the cap space to do it. We'll pay a premium in salary to get guys that we know are good, which is kind of not a bad strategy when you say it that way out loud.
I was listening to Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com like a month or two ago, and he was like, I expect teams to be aggressive in the trade market this year because there are no free agents. So how else do you build your team? You got to get a little bit creative. And I think that's what Washington's doing. Also, like, it's also a little bit of a situation with AP, to me at least, and maybe I'm looking too deep into it, where he's kind of seen it done like this before. Didn't San Fran go out and get Trent Williams? San Fran go out and get Christian McCaffrey? So, like, you pick your spot, so to speak. And I still think the philosophy is build through the draft, but when you Jaden Daniels changes your trajectory, it changes how you look at yourself.
100%. And those trades, I know San Fran didn't win a world championship, but like they did
for 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, they were the best team in the NFC and they went to 2 Super Bowls. So
yes.
And Christian McCaffrey was incredible for them.
Exactly.
And Trent Williams has been incredible for them. And if Debo doesn't have to be 2021 Debo, because that dude ain't coming back. That was an insane season. But if he's 2023 Debo, like, he's way better. Would they give up a 5th for him?
Yeah.
That's way better than anything you'll get in the 5th round this year. So I think that's how you have to look at it, is like, we're paying a premium for, I mean, I guess it's not guarantees because we don't know if that version of Debo is coming back. Why did he have a down year last year?
Right.
Tunsil, I'm less concerned about. He actually, you know, PFF grade is what it is, but like, he actually wasn't that bad last year. Their offensive line was terrible in general.
Right.
He obviously had a million penalties, but their whole offensive system was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I also think, unlike there, where they can't get, they're bad mouthing him on the way out to an extent of like, this guy's
like
not
it.
A leader, whatever. They don't need him to be a leader here.
No.
Like, there are so many leaders on that offense, from Ertz to Cosme to Biadasz to Terry to Jaden. Like, at best, he's like the 7th or 8th guy that anyone would look to and be like, hey, we need you to be a leader here. We need you to block your face off.
Nick Allegretti speaking up before Tunsil is.
Like,
seriously.
He's like the 6th guy. I mean, in terms of like nastiness, Coleman's got a nasty streak and some leadership to him. Like, he's like the 6th guy in the O-line room. Hey, Laramie, I don't care what you wear. I don't care your fashion. I don't care. I don't care if you want to be about, you know, I'm Mr. 2-time highest paid tackle in the league and I'm my own agent. Brack. Block.
Oh, he's his own agent?
Yeah.
That's a flat. Oh, that's why people are. See, people get upset when people represent themselves for whatever reason.
They do.
And I think it's smart, because what's this about? Creating generational wealth. That little 10% that you're giving to the agent, that's putting maybe your grandkid through school. You know?
Sure.
So, like, I don't ever hate on that. Ever.
Point being, if Laramie Tunsil plays awesome at left tackle, I'm not saying I don't care what he does other than that, but like the stuff that he has been criticized for, the stuff that people are mad about in Houston, I don't care about that stuff. Go play, dude. Be good. Let everyone else take care of the leadership things. Don't ask guys that aren't leaders to lead. That's a Dan Quinn special right there, and so I'm perfectly fine with that. All right, the whole reason we had you here was to do...
we've got on a tangent.
To ask this question that we're going to ask next here on the Hoffman Show, which is... Are the Commanders ultimately, in trying to go for it in the way that they're going for it, making a mistake? Connor Orr of the Monday Morning Quarterback tried to make that argument. We'll see if we believe it next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Why do you keep looking at Anthony? What is going on?
I feel like he knows what I'm going to say. He had to come back with it again. Eh? We this is special. That's all right.
I feel like he's doing it
He wants to hear this song.
I'm just giving him a hard time because that's fun to do.
And you don't do enough of it, Craig. Give him more of a hard time.
You know, see, here's the thing. No, you just walk around trying to throw your weight around, trying to be like, oh, I'm going to poke here, needle here. I just walk around quiet until sometime I pull out like a cartoon-sized mallet and just bam. And nobody sees it coming.
Like literally.
It hits a lot harder.
Like 10 minutes ago, I did not see you coming. You were right behind me.
No, I just snuck up right on you. Just gave you a little.
I compared you to Cooper DeJean. Craig may be maybe a P-Squad DB this year, depending on.
Look, the commanders need some bodies. This body ain't at 30. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
We were talking about this yesterday on the show. Dog, when I'm sitting here be like, oh, that guy's 33, he's too old. I'm 35 years old. It's coming for you eventually. It's coming for you eventually, and it's going to suck.
You,
I'm not ready for
you
it.
You carry your 35 well, though, man. Nobody would
That's
know.
Great.
No one looks at you and says 35.
But when everyone.
But 35 is the new.
Yeah,
21.
Like as a human being, I'm young, I'm fine. But when all of a sudden you're running out of athletes that are your age or younger or your age or older in the sport, like I saw Calais Campbell on that thing and he's 39, I'm like, hell yeah, I got years left, bro.
He's another interesting name too, man. Just saying.
I don't disagree.
Look, there should be a for rent sign, a for hire sign up rather for defensive end right now.
Yeah. No, they need to figure that out. They need to figure receiver out. They just need bodies at those positions. Yeah. But in terms of what they actually have done, this was a really interesting clip that you brought to my attention because I don't agree with the totality of it. I will tell you that up front. But the concept is definitely worth discussing. Here's Connor Orr on the Monday Morning Quarterback podcast on Washington.
I did not like Washington's free agency at all. I hate the idea of microwaving this process and just being like, oh, okay, we made it to the NFC title game. Let's get Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil and let's trade away all of our picks for veteran guys and this, you know, it's not 2010 anymore. Like, it doesn't necessarily work that way. And now you're putting a lot on Jaden Daniels' plate. And for everybody that's telling me, well, you have to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
That's what the Jets said with Mark Sanchez. That's what the Texans said with CJ Stroud. That's what all these teams, you know, that's what the Eagles said with Carson Wentz. And it ended up just overloading these guys. And then they were never the same.
I'll do the dismantling of the argument part, and then I want to discuss the idea okay. of microwaving it or not, because that part is an interesting discussion.
Yes.
If your comparisons for the Commanders are the Mark Sanchez-led Jets.
That's tough.
And the Carson Wentz-led Eagles, who pivoted and have won multiple Super Bowls since, your argument might be terrible. So the specifics of Connor's argument are just absolutely horrendous. Because, while yes, they tried to go all in and build the dream team thing, the Eagles showed that you can pivot off of that if it doesn't work.
Exactly.
And Mark Sanchez is not Jaden Daniels, so that's the end of that.
Exactly.
But the idea of microwaving and trying to do what the Texans tried to do last year, like, I think there are a lot of fans that have that nervousness and are questioning whether this is a good idea. You wanted to talk about this with me specifically. Why did you want to talk about this?
Because it's like, I low-key, like, I get where he's coming from. Let me get out in front and say I disagree with the, like, premise that they're putting too much on Jaden's plate is something that he said. And I was like, huh? And what he's saying by that is, like, there's added pressure and expectation to succeed because look at what the franchise is doing to make sure that you succeed. So you have to prove them right, so to speak. I just think, and it's a blessing for us, we've got a quarterback that has the temperament of like a 72-year-old retired postman. He just is cooling. It doesn't care about anything. He wakes up in the morning, he eats his cereal, he waters the lawn, and he goes back in and is the best granddad in America.
Jaden Except being the best quarterback. His version of being a granddad is showing up at 4:30 to do a walkthrough with Cliff Kingsbury.
He just, you know what I'm saying? So I hope you got the analogy, but like, I don't worry about that with him. But I do think they have given up picks. And for a front office that came in here, and one of the first things they said when they were at the press conference in Ashburn when they were both hired was, we're going to build this thing through the draft. And they've given up 2 third-rounders this year, a 4th-rounder this year, a 5th-rounder this year, a 6th-rounder this year, a 7th-rounder this year, and then a 2nd and a 4th next year.
That's
considered like premium capital. Like those are
some of those, but also
some of them. Yes,
some of those are premium, and also they've gotten some back too, right? Like
correct.
Some of those,
there were 2/3.
They've actually, you know, they've actually like moved up in the 3rd round
right.
Compared to where they were. Although I guess that pick went in the Tunsil trade. So
right.
that, you know, initially when they gave up the 3rd, it was,
he's really just flipping, honestly.
So yeah, like there are some, and maybe he's not done yet. And that's kind of my thing is, if you
exactly. like, not done yet.
We're evaluating this in the middle, right? You're grading the test and being like, this answer's wrong. And it's like, I haven't gotten to that question yet. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but the Scantron is only filled into question 50, and there's 75 questions on the test, there, Professor Connor Orr. And so, like, that's the thing, is there's no reason that they can't, on draft night, trade back and recoup some of these picks. And I also think the other part of this is my retort, my question, and I think Albert Breer does a good job of explaining some of the logic on this very show. If anyone wants to go check it out, we just don't have time to play Albert's very long response because then we wouldn't have time to respond. What are the other options?
Exactly. How else do you do it?
Ultimately, if you make the NFC Championship game, you want to get better so you can get to the Super Bowl. And that's the goal. The whole point is to win. It's not strike while the iron's hot. The iron should, if Jaden Daniels is who they think he is, be hot for 10 years.
Yeah.
They have to think about both how do we get better now and how do we get better later. But if they wanted to get better now, what was the other option? Sign a bunch of guys and just sit on all your draft picks and wait and hope that you hit a couple more home runs in the draft? Like, I was talking to a team executive over the last couple of months, and we were talking about their long-term strategy. And they literally were just like, I know I'm like one of the guys that's hit for them or one of the players that's hit for them. They were like, I'm not going to get that lucky again.
There's a reality that
like, if you are hitting on fifth rounders or if it's the NBA late first rounders, if it's other leagues, you know, undrafted free agents, right? You know, I'm thinking of one of the soccer players in town who now is like a starting caliber player, was an undrafted free agent. Like, there are exceptions to the rule always, but you can't rely on exceptions. And when you're picking at 29 and you plan on picking at least there or later for multiple years in a row, you have to find a way to get premium talent.
Because guess what? And I know the one thing that's interesting is, right, like, for years we had talent evaluators here that were alleged to be getting drunk on the job and they weren't seen as serious football people. We got serious football people in the building. So the days of, like, pretending like we know more than them, I'm done with that. Because I trust Adam Peters. That's why I keep saying we're at the mercy of the evaluator. With that being said, like,
We were at the mercy of the evaluator with the drunks, too. But, you know,
exactly.
I shouldn't say the drunks, the alleged drunks. Nobody sue me.
Yeah, but, you know, he's not going to bat 1,000. And the one thing I said the first time I cracked the mic after the NFC Championship game is, this is, to me, one of the most important off-seasons. I'm hedging when I say that. I said this is the most important off-season of the rebuild. You can agree with that statement or not. I said they were going to be aggressive. How they were going to be aggressive, though, I thought would look different, and they're kind of showing it. I don't think they're done. I have a hunch. I just don't think you can wait until the draft. And it goes from about what you said last week to me, which I've repeated it a million times because I think it's spot on. You got to go into free agency in this period acting like the draft don't exist.
Right.
Because there's no guarantee that you get to 29 and James Pierce is there. There's no guarantee that you get to 61 and Jack Sawyer's there. Control the controllables.
Yeah,
I may go get Trey Hendrickson. Still.
I don't know. See, that's the one thing. I think the Hendrickson door for now is closed. But we were talking about this in a break, right? What if on draft night Trey Hendrickson still hasn't been traded? And the Commanders have an offer on the table to move back to 39, let's say. Let's not make it a 5 or 6 thing. Let's make it where they have to go back a little farther because that's going to get them more in return.
Right.
And they do that knowing if we can get an extra second here, we can replace our second from next year, and maybe we trade that 39th pick for Trey Hendrickson. Or we trade our 61st pick if Cincinnati will take it for Trey Hendrickson. Like, now we're cooking. But you have to have the first one first.
Right.
And I think that is one thing that I am very cognizant of, having now covered multiple rebuilds and covering multiple ongoing rebuilds, is you can't grade the test till the test has been turned in. And I think that we are in the middle of the test for Adam Peters when it comes to this offseason. And thus, some of the, like, what they've done is gotten better and acquired better talent.
Yeah.
That's good. In terms of cleaning it up and making sure that they can continue to do that moving forward, that is an ongoing process. And that way, the test is never turned in until, like, Jaden Daniels is done in his prime and we look back and say, how many Lombardis did they win? And did they do enough to win it? Lynnell Willingham, we'll be talking about this, I'm sure, more tonight.
For
if you want the unhinged version, listen tonight at 6:30. on 106.7 The Fan. I'm half joking. Tonight, overtime, you can catch him there on 106.7 The Fan and, of course, the free Odyssey app. Good to
this
see you,
is
dude.
Fun. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you as well. When Anthony, what are we doing when we get back? Are we doing the Mariota thing? Are we doing the other thing? What are we doing?
Should we talk about how the Commanders are supporting Jaden Daniels?
We could talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about the Marcus Mariota re-signing and why it actually fits with the one consistent thing they've done with this offseason next on The Hoffman Show. The Hoffman Show is brought to you by the Maryland Vehicle Prevention Council. Maryland drivers, did you know a vehicle is stolen every 16 minutes in the state of Maryland? The key to preventing theft is in your hands. Lock your car, take your key, use an anti-theft device, learn more about vehicle theft prevention at mdautotheft.org. It's the Hoffman Show. We are on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. So the Commanders' main moves this offseason, I think, Anthony, have all gone into one bucket. They have gone into the Jaden Daniels bucket. And if you were trying to think of a better bucket to invest in, I don't know what it would be for the Washington Commanders. What could they possibly invest in that's more important than, like, is there a situation where Jaden Daniels is not a superhero where they're good again next year? Or where they're, I shouldn't say good, where they're great again next year?
I mean, if our defense is going to go out there and be the leading scoring defense in the NFL, maybe, but...
Okay, let me react. Is there a realistic...
No.
Of course not.
No.
Of course not. Now, it is also not unrealistic to think that he could perform at an MVP caliber level again. Like, that's who he was last year. It was not smoke and mirrors. Like, it wasn't a bunch of BS. Like, they were just good. They used their things that they had in their toolbox really well, and almost no one could stop it the entire year, including the Eagles. Now, the Eagles presented a bunch of other problems. Commanders aren't better than the Eagles. But if they, like, if Washington, is the question is, like, can they score on Philadelphia? They figured it out about as well as anyone. And if they can figure out how to freaking run the ball this year, that would be even better. But here's the Commanders' offseason so far with the re-signing today of Marcus Mariota, the backup quarterback last year, who they re-signed on a one-year, $8 million deal. They got Jaden Daniels a new easy button in Deebo Samuel, right? We'll see how that goes, but a guy they can give jet sweeps to, a guy they can give screens to, a guy that is pretty reliable at getting open underneath in zone coverage. Like, they got a guy who they can give Jaden a mental rep off, basically, to be like, hey, just hand the ball to Deebo or throw the ball to Deebo and see what happens. They got him a 5-time Pro Bowl left tackle and Laremy Tunsil. And I believe those 5 Pro Bowls are in the last 6 years. That's good. That's nice. Like that. They brought back his safety blanket, the guy who was the best fourth down receiver in the NFL last year, on a team that had the best fourth down conversion percentage in 25 years in the history of the league, in Zach Ertz. They brought back his big bro, if you will, and Bobby Wagner, guy who was essential to Jaden's success, one of his best friends in the locker room, a mentor, a guide to NFL football, someone who made him better on and off the field. And then his in position group mentor and Marcus Mariota, which essentially keeps the quarterback room intact, which, by the way, this is a, like, I don't know that it's an under talked about or underrated thing. Like, it's ultimately the assistant quarterback's coach, but certain positions you can block coaching moves for. And there were some teams that wanted to talk to David Blau, and because it wasn't for like a coordinator position, the Commanders could block it. They're like, you're on a 2-year contract. Or whatever the coaching contract was, and you're under contract with us, and even though you would be getting a small promotion from assistant quarterback's coach to quarterback's coach, you're staying here. And they blocked David Blau from taking other interviews because they want to keep that quarterback room of Blau, Driscoll, Sam Hartman, I would assume, is going to be back on the practice squad again, who's like Jaden's best friend on the team, Mariota, Tavita Pritchard, Cliff Kingsbury, together. As long as they can. And if next year Cliff winds up getting a head coaching job, then I would assume that they reshuffle that room and try to keep as many of those guys in there as they can. But that's when you can be like, hey, Blau, you're going to get the quarterback's coach job here because DeVita is now the OC or passing game coordinator. And Brian Johnson is the current passing game coordinator. Like, he's in that room as well. Like, we'll see what happens with him and potential interviews. So there's just an incredible level of continuity for what I would argue was the most important thing at the most important position, which is the ecosystem around the quarterback. And yes, do they still need to go find wide receivers? And that's a pretty important part of the ecosystem, whatever. Yes, but they've done a pretty remarkable job of keeping this thing together, Anthony. And that makes me feel really good about Jaden Daniels going into year two. And it probably makes Jaden Daniels feel pretty good going into year two.
Yeah, I think they essentially are just building off of last year. I think last year, the rookie quarterback in terms of the play on the field, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, he did a good job of, you know, not giving them too much, giving them, you know, screens and like easy ways to, you know, get the ball out of his hand. I think this year they're more so trying to build a more explosive offense. You go out there, you get Laremy Tunsil, who can protect his blind side. So now he maybe can, you know, take some longer drops, you know, hold him to the ball a little bit longer as opposed to, you know, getting the ball out. Also, we had people chipping off the edges. So like most of the time we had three people going out as opposed to, you know, having, you know, more options available. So I think they're just doing a better job of, you know, building the offense up. You bring Debo in, you know, he's a home run hitter.
By the way, he's a home run hitter without the risk involved, right? Debo at his best, and I'm talking 2023, like realistic Debo, not 2021 Debo, is a guy that you can throw a slant to, a screen to, and he breaks a tackle and takes it to the house. You can throw him a 5-yard hitch, he slips off a guy and he's gone. He's not a vertical stretch the field guy.
Yeah.
Which is very, very different.
Yeah.
I think I need to find Let me double check this. We've got people in the YouTube chat with news, Anthony, and Commanders news. So I'm going to double check this real quick. That way I'm not reading a wrong thing on the air. But I think
the Chargers.
Well, the Chargers did something, and then there's also the Commanders did something. The Chargers apparently have signed BSJ.
Yes.
So that's that. And yeah, Jeremy Fowler reporting Jonathan Jones, the former Patriots corner, to the Commanders on a 1-year deal. So, Kime's got it as well. Played for New England since 2016. Can play inside and outside. Mark Bullock, who does a lot of film study, he says, surprising move, undersized corner, more of a slot guy, probably a depth piece. I don't know about that. I mean, they need more bodies, obviously, as well. A guy that's played a ton of NFL football. Let me pull up his
kind of. You said Mark said he'll probably be in the slot.
We said he's a guy. Mark thinks he's going to be a depth piece, not a starter.
Okay.
Where I'm like, I don't know. I mean, right now he's definitely their number two corner. But like, what I think it probably does though is it gives you a floor. Like worst case scenario, now Jonathan Jones is your number two corner. Now, what that means, I can have a better idea in a couple minutes if I can watch 20 snaps of film and also look at some stats and stuff real quick, some grades and kind of where he's been and let's see where he's lined up, snaps by position. He last year played outside for most of the year. He played in the slot predominantly in 1, 2, 3, 4 games, including 3 of the last 4 where he was a rotational guy. So he mostly played outside, but he does definitely have versatility. I mean, there's one game where PFF's got him lined up at free safety for 22 snaps, and that's the most he played in that game in week 10. So I'm going to have to watch. I mean, now I'm kind of want to watch week 10 and week 12 real quick because those are the times he moved around quite a bit. But he definitely is a guy that's versatile, 5'10", 185, ran a 4.3 in college, or coming out of college, like super, super fast guy.
What about his age, though?
He's older. He's played a lot of football.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that played, if I can get defense. He played over 700 snaps last year, so he's not a full-time player.
Yeah.
You know, his peak, he played 914 on 2022 New England. But, like, his grades are pretty good. He's a pretty sure tackler.
okay run defender for most of his career. At times, like 2019, Jonathan Jones was a really good run defender, really good at everything. He's definitely not a number one corner anymore. I'll tell you that much. But he's also a guy that puts a floor underneath you. Where now, if you go draft someone who's better, great. If you don't, then you hope that he's good here.
Yeah.
So we'll get a little bit more on Jonathan Jones coming up next here on the Hoffman Show. All right, so the Commanders have another signing, Jonathan Jones, cornerback out of New England. Played 9 years for the Patriots, been a starter for most of that time. I'm going to be honest with y'all, I don't have a whole lot else on him. But here's the PFF stuff. I can give you that for sure. Made his debut in 2016, didn't really play a whole lot, only played 66 snaps that year. But was a full-time starter, or a rotational starter, I should say, in 2017. Played almost 500 snaps that season. He graded out very, very well from 2017 all the way through to 2023. 2021 was kind of a down year for him, but he also was hurt that year and didn't play a whole lot. 2022, he bounced back after that down year in 21, played a career-high 914 snaps, over 500, almost 600 snaps in coverage that year, and PFF had him at a 67 grade, which is a green grade, low green, but green. He has always been a consistent tackler. He has always played the run pretty well as well. Last year was probably his worst season as a pro, or one of his worst seasons as a pro, according, again, to PFF metrics, which are what they are. We know that defense was a mess last year. Those first 8 years were under Bill Belichick. The last year was under Gerard Mayo and whatever else they had going on in New England. That seems like probably a relevant thing. He mostly has lined up as an outside corner, but he also has played a fair amount, or the last, I should say, 3 years mostly as an outside corner. The first 6 years of his career, he played a lot more slot. So definitely an interesting thing to consider here as they figure out, like, is this Mike Sainer still insurance? And by the way, if this guy winds up being a rotation piece who can spell Mike Sainer still / teach Mike Sainer still some of the tricks of the trade, like, there are a lot worse guys that you can have in the room than a guy that played 8 years for Bill Belichick at a really high level who's at the end of his career. I think that's one of the things we learned last year, is like the value of the vet in the room. And a guy that, by the way, has been around in that room with Marshawn Lattimore. Like, you know, is he a guy that can maybe take on a different role and making sure that Marshawn's head is on straight. Ultimately, I don't know that he's a starting caliber guy. He's certainly not a high caliber starter. Reading texted our guy Dan Pizzuta real quick. This is a guy that was playing opposite of a Christian Gonzalez, as Dan pointed out in his text back to me. He definitely was not, like, it sounds, Anthony, by what Dan just texted me, I don't want to set this guy up for failure, so I'm going to whisper this. You ready? Make sure your headphones are on and ready. There's a little bit of BSJ where he deters a lot of targets. And sit down. Don't you walk out. This was just last year. Jonathan Jones had 8 years of success. So relax. But, like, apparently last year there was a little bit, like, did a really good job deterring targets, especially considering he was playing opposite of Christian Gonzalez. And then we got thrown at, things didn't always go great. So the ball skills, for whatever reason, took a dip. But, again, I wonder how much of that was year one out of the Belichick system with Gerard Mayo and whatever else they were trying to do defensively last year, where that defense, everyone thought that defense was going to be really good. And then they were terrible. And like the only good thing about New England was kind of Drake May by the end of the year. And he was obviously up and down because he's a rookie and had no infrastructure around him. And then they fired everyone because they did a bunch of dumb stuff. So hopefully he can regain his form and he's fine. They'll hopefully put him in positions here to do what he's good at. And if you're telling me I got a guy who's got good speed, has had a history of being a solid corner and he plays the run really well, like that's a guy that can play for Dan Quinn. Because that's the thing is, like, you know, if the ball, you know, when he gets thrown at, he's going to get challenged. You know, you got to clean that up. Okay, Joe Witt Jr. has always been pretty good about that kind of stuff, coaching that up. What you can't really coach up is like, hey, can you be physical and play the run really, really well? Like, of course, you can coach up the technique, but like there's a mentality there, and it seems like this guy more than has that. So there's that.
I think when you think about everything you've just outlined about Jonathan Jones, the thing that sticks out to me about him is the fact that he's physical. He's a great tackler. Do you think he's going to align more in the slot as opposed to like an outside? Because that's what it gives almost.
I don't know. That's the thing. Okay. And I think it probably depends on, like, one, I would think they experiment with it. Like, yeah. If they have these two guys that can play inside, outside, and Mikey winds up clearly being better outside, or Jones is clearly better inside, maybe that is the plan. Maybe they just be like, this was never our plan, but it's not a bad one. So, Mikey, hey, you really settled into the outside corner spot last year. Let's just stick you out there opposite of Marshawn and let's go. That could be your starting trio. You could flip it and say, Jones, you're going to play outside. Mikey, you're back inside. They could also draft a guy that could beat out Jones for the outside spot, and he winds up as corner four. Or he doesn't make the team. Because sometimes that stuff happens. You sign a guy in the offseason, he doesn't even survive training camp. Like, I don't know. It's March 12th. But having a guy that's got a good history, very clearly a smart football player, if Bill Belichick keeps you around that long, especially as a DB where, like, Belichick is, you know, that was kind of his forte was the back-end coverage stuff. Like, very clearly a smart guy, very clearly plays with a lot of physicality, and the fact that he's graded out so well against the run year after year after year after year. And so it gives you, you know, some kind of floor underneath you. And this is, like, this is what to expect from the Commanders in free agency throughout the rest of this. Like, the sexiest name that you can possibly, like, the two sexiest names they might sign are Azeez Ojulari and Amari Cooper. Cooper, because he's a known commodity or a known name at 31 years old, and Ojulari because he's 25. Like, purely because he's got a little pass rush juice and he's 25. All you are doing is trying to put floors underneath you so that you can genuinely go into the draft without a need. Where you go into the draft without a, if we don't draft a guy that's a starter for us, we're in deep S. And Jonathan Jones puts that kind of floor underneath you. I don't know how much more at this point in his career of a floor he puts underneath you, but at the very least does that. So they got that going for him, which is nice.
Yeah.
All right. I have terrible news for all of the faithful Hoffman Show listeners that are listening right now. This is our final break of the show. I feel like I haven't said that today at all. And so I'm so sorry to break this heartbreaking news to you, but we are done at 6:15 today because Georgetown DePaul in the Big East tournament is following us and the pregame show starts at 6:15. So your final bit of football, a little basketball, and some real things real people said in real microphones to wrap up the show next here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. Wow, I looked really small there for a second. I was leaning forward in my chair, Anthony, and I was just like, I want to come play at the grown-ups table.
Did you almost fall?
No, I didn't almost fall. I just looked like a child on the YouTube stream.
Ah.
A grown-ass man. Or something.
I think you are.
You know who I am right now? I'm a hungry man. I'm not well. My brain is not functioning.
You need a Snickers?
I don't think Snickers is going to be what I need because the whole milk chocolate thing that really sucks.
I would forget,
sucks
man.
For your boy. But I need something. The show is almost over, so I think I can make it till the end.
Yes, sir.
Especially considering we're going to do some real things here in a second. Any other news that you've seen that we need to cover?
BSJ to the Chargers.
Yep.
That was the latest.
Yep.
Now that's everything.
And then obviously Jonathan Jones to the Commanders. So here are the top 101 free agents still available, or like on the top 101 list from NFL.com that we've been referencing from Greg Rosenthal like all week, last 3 weeks really. Here are the guys that are still available. Amari Cooper, who finished last year in Buffalo. Asante Samuel Jr., Chargers corner. He was only 25, but very, very up and down career. Cam Robinson, offensive tackle. Stephon Diggs, Tevin Jenkins, the guard from Chicago. Calais Campbell, center. Josh Myers, Azeez Ojulari, the pass rusher from the Giants. Very interested there. Mekhi Becton, Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, Dante Fowler, Charles Omenihu, J.K. Dobbins, Rico Dowdle, Za'Darius Smith still available, right? That hasn't changed.
He's still available.
Okay, I thought something yesterday like popped with him, but I guess not. It's hard to keep everybody straight. Mike Williams, Justin Simmons, of course, last year didn't sign until way late. Stephon Gilmore, Kaiser White, Rasul Douglas, Elijah Moore, Brandon Sheriff, Keenan Allen, Cooper Kupp now available officially as he was released today. Julian Blackman, the safety from the Colts, started 16 games despite tearing his rotator cuff in week one. Damn.
Yeah. Those guys played through a lot of injuries.
Tyron Smith, Mike Hilton, Jedrick Wills, Nick Chubb. Those are the guys that are still available.
Nick Chubb, man.
I've heard he's like the best dude.
Yeah.
Siciliano was telling me that at the combine. But he's had just devastating knee injury after devastating knee injury.
Yeah.
So that sucks. Tomorrow, 11 a.m., Logan and I, right here on YouTube, if you're watching, in your audio feeds afterwards, if you're listening, we're going to do a live edition of Take Command. Anthony, we don't love to do live editions of Take Command. We like to just be able to take our time and do the podcast thing. But it feels very silly not to do a live edition because when you're live, then everyone understands it can be dated very quickly. And if we do a podcast, then by the time we put it out, there's something that we talked about that's no longer a thing.
Yeah.
Then that feels very silly. But I think at this point, they've made enough additional signings. Like, he and I haven't talked about Will Harris yet. We haven't talked about Jonathan Jones, obviously, yet. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the big picture stuff. So that'll be tomorrow, probably about 45 minutes, starting 11 o'clock. That'll be live on YouTube at the Team 980, at 106.7 The Fan, and at Craig Hoffman. So any of the three places that you get your Take Command, we'll go live in all three. And then afterwards, we'll put the audio expeditiously, as fast as we can, in the audio feed. So if you're a Take Command listener, not watcher, we will try not to leave you behind. I don't think there's a way. Actually, I should ask. Bosses, if you're listening, if there's a way that we can go live in the Odyssey app while we do this live video stream, we obviously can do live audio, but I feel like that might be a little harder to just set up. If anyone out there is listening, local bosses, national bosses, you let me know. We'll be willing to try to make that happen. Other than that, tomorrow on the show, never read the comments. What else we got tomorrow?
Maybe we might look at some mocks.
Oh, yeah. We're going to try to look at some mock drafts. Today we looked at some simulators. We're going to look at some actual mocks tomorrow.
Yeah. And, there's a guest we may have.
Oh.
Yep. We may have him.
It's a may still.
Yes.
We're hoping to have one of the new commanders over the next 2 days at the very least.
Yes.
We'll also talk about, We'll talk Eddie Goldman tomorrow on Take Command, too, because he signed today.
Yep.
But one of the new, at the very least one, if not multiple of the new commanders over the next couple of days here on the show. So we're trying our best to push some buttons, do some things, make it happen. All right. With that, it is time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, at the end of this here radio program, to do the thing we do at the end of the radio program.
Real things.
We're not going to be served this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right. This is so funny. NFL coaches. Aditi, who's the sideline reporter from CBS. She does. It also works for NFL Network. She did a bunch of great social like content at the NFL Combine where she asked coaches how much they could bench and all these other kinds of things. This one was great. NFL coaches, who would you call if you had to change a flat tire?
Let's say you get a flat tire on your way to the stadium. Which of your players are you calling first to come help?
Man, that's a good question because I'm not good at changing, so I know they got to have that skill. AJ.
He can change a flat, you think?
I don't know. I trust him.
Cortland's been on a horses, you name it. He'd be a real good resource.
Caleb McGarry. He's the caveman. He can get us out of anything. You know, this guy carries. He has swords. The guy throws axes. Like, I'm sure he can figure out.
Does he have a jack? Who cares if he's got swords?
Listen, I'm sure he can figure out anything.
Will Goldstein.
honestly, that's my favorite part. Aditi, who's like 5 foot nothing, looking at Raheem Morris, big old NFL coach, being like, I don't care with those axes. You know anything about changing a tire, you doofus? Does he have a jack? Favorite part of the whole video. DQ's about to come up, by the way.
Very loyal, understands it. City kid, should know something about cars. I think he'll take care of it.
Chuba Hubbard, he'd be my guy. He'd be ready to be there in a heartbeat.
We'll go Nick Allegretti. He's a guard, but I feel like he doesn't miss things. He has a truck. I feel like he's the guy.
Reed Ferguson. Long
really?
Snapper. Yes. Man of the people. He's not a master of any, but good at a lot of things.
That's where I kind of got. Quinn going Allegretti. That's a great call. Nick Allegretti feels like a car guy. We know he's a coin guy, but he also feels like he could be a car guy.
I think so, too. Can you change a tire?
I haven't had to, thankfully. There was a point in my life that I definitely could. I understand the concept. I don't have, as you can tell, I don't have 100% confident, but I do think I could do it.
Hey, Craig, if you need some help, man, just let me know.
You 100% know?
Yes.
You have changed a tire?
Changed tires, brakes, them all.
Oh, you're a car. How much of a car guy are you?
It's not necessarily I'm a car guy. My dad just taught me that stuff when I was younger.
Do my oil. That ain't that hard. Also, you know what? I 1,000% can change a tire.
It's real simple.
Like, I got YouTube. So any part that I need to double check, like, true. I got the internet. Do I want to do it with a dead phone? On a rainy night in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
No, but that's because of the rainy night in the middle of nowhere parts. But especially if I can double check myself on the things that I'm unsure about because I haven't thought about changing a tire since I was taught how to drive and told the thing I might need to do. I have the internet to double check myself. I'm pretty confident I can pull it off.
Yeah. I think the hardest part is just getting the lug nuts out.
That's what you got to do. You got to take the lug nuts off. First, you got to get the jack in the right place. You got to get the car up. You got to twist it. Oh, would you look at that? We're out of time. We'll see you tomorrow on the Hoffman Show.